by Gotham, a crazy podcast about DC, with your host E-Rock and PD. When we speak up, get your geeks up, cause you know you about to get geeked up. So sit back, relax, and get comfy. Lose your mind like Solomon Grundy, and listen to a show that won't be forgotten, coming straight out of Gotham.
Everybody on the DC Universe, welcome to another episode of Straight Outta Gotham, episode 134. We are a fandom pop culture podcast and a proud member of the Batman Podcast Network, hosted by BatmanOnFilm.com. Please check out all the other great shows on our network by heading on over to BOF, clicking the podcast dropdown, and seeing what everyone has to offer, including whatever podcast Justin Kowalski is delayed doing for the last 6 months. I am your co-host from the other side of the Hudson River. I'm a senior contributor to Batman on Film. I am Peter R. Vera. Today we're recording on November 18th, 2023. And as always, we have a great show for you today. But before we get into the good stuff, I'd like to remind you, all of our faithful listeners, that if you take the time to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts and we read your review on air, you just won the Straight Outta Gotham monthly prize pack. So please, you got to be in it to win it. Get those reviews in like Rotten Tomatoes. Now, let me introduce you to my partner in crime, the man who chowed down in a whopping 47 whole Kentucky fried turkeys while he invaded the state of Kentucky, the champion of Long Island and the chicken chowing champion of Kentucky, everybody, Eric Q. Holzman.
Thank you. Yes, that was quite a trip, actually.
Is it true that you chew the bones and the turkey, you just disintegrate everything in your mouth? You're just the jaws of life?
Not exactly. I will like kind of chew on it to get the flavor out of the marrow. Because the marrow
flavor
is...
saver?
Yeah, like I'll do that, but
okay.
I don't eat the bones. That would be painful coming out later, so I don't wanna go put my body through that process.
There are rumors that you have a steel rectum.
So that's not something I would do, but that okay. I was in Kentucky. That's one of the reasons why, guys, there was no show last week. I was in Kentucky for work and I got back and then I had family stuff going on. So
she's got there. A missing in Kentucky. She's probably still at Eric's motel.
My motel?
Well, I imagine there's a couple rooms there with a couple ladies waiting for you to return.
Mm, well, it's possible. I do leave a mark. That's for sure.
That's what she said.
So thank you guys. Thank you, Pete, for that another rousing introduction. I always love my
rousing introduction, really.
Rousing, not arousing. Rousing. I just need to point something out. Pete, is that an Astro shirt you're wearing?
No.
Oh, shoo. Okay.
It says Trashstros.
Good. Because I only saw the top and it said Houston and the colors, and I was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, but, it's a garbage can.
But I like that one. See, this is good. This is good. Sorry to Steve Helm and everyone else, I think.
Steve likes the Rangers.
That's true, the Rangers. I know some people out there like the Astros. I can't remember, but whatever. I'm sure we have fans out there who like the Astros, and we hate them, so it's fine. But yeah, so how you been, man? Because we kind of been
good, just raking the leaves.
Well, yeah, because it's fall and fall, and then what's coming up this Thursday, everyone knows, is Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So
is the day where we slaughter mass turkeys for our enjoyment.
More noise, more turkeys. They're the turkeys that we're going to slaughter. So we talk about this every year. Is any different, any change to the Thanksgiving Day spread at the Vera household? Did you do anything different
this
year?
Not really, because we don't cook it. We go somewhere else for Thanksgiving. So,
okay.
I'll have someone else cook me a meal, and then they can bring it to me, and then I'll eat it.
That's better. That's the better way to do it. I do breakfast. I think I might have said this in the past. I host breakfast, so... This year we're making Monte Cristo sliders with King's Hawaiian bread.
Do you use turkey bacon?
No. I tried that. I did try it.
You should just be like, it's Thanksgiving. We're supposed to eat turkey for every meal.
Dude, it's disgusting.
It's not good. No. Yeah. It's like that It's like that, what's it called? That, oh my God, that, the pasta that doesn't have the gluten in it or whatever it is.
Gluten-free pasta?
Yeah. The stuff that Wado tries to get people to eat. Yeah, still good. Still good.
It's kind of like, you might not remember. Do you remember Sizzaline?
Sizzling. It sounds familiar. I don't know if I remember it though.
It was like, it's kind of like how turkey bacon looks. It was this flat kind of bacon without the fat in it. They just removed the fat from it.
And that's horrible.
Yeah, that's that's what turkey bacon reminds me of. So, and then I tried to do it. I said, I'm going to try and eat a little healthier, but it's really not that much better for you if you read the ingredients. So
yeah, it's another one of those lies from the government. Like they're sticking the seed oils in all of our food, man. Trying to control us, man.
I didn't know about that one.
Oh, that's, yeah, new to me. Oh, yeah. All the seed oils. Watch out for it. I'm on to you, Wado, and your conspiracy theories.
Poor Garrett can't eat regular stuff because he gets sick. I feel bad. Sorry.
It's all,
man,
a lie. He just wants people to talk about him. He's such a fibber. That's what they call in Minnesota, fibbers.
So, but a lot's happened since our last show. A lot's happened since in the past few weeks in this space. Mm-hmm. So we can get into it.
Yeah.
Break stuff down for everybody like we always do.
Oh, yeah.
So let's start with
Holzimon Go.
Let's start with Loki season 2. Let's do that first. Sure. Now, Pete, I want you to speak first because you did not like season 1.
No, it was really boring.
Right. So you tell us what you thought about season 2 in comparison to season 1. Go ahead.
To be brutally honest, I think you only really need to watch like the last 3 episodes. Like the first 3 are good. Like it's not bad TV, but the last 3 are just so like impactful to the story.
Right.
That it's almost like a 3-hour movie, you know, especially that last episode. It's just crazy and insane, especially since like Loki takes over like.
Yeah.
It's like timeline god or whatever. And it's cool to see that character evolve from what he was when we first saw him, right? Like we all just at one point you thought he would be the villain of the MCU forever and ever, right? The trickster Loki, and he really had a turnaround. Which Wilson was this? Was this Luke Wilson? I can't remember. I always get him confused.
Yes.
He was great in this too. I mean, and so was Short Round. He was fantastic. He might have been the star of the show. So overall, just a much better season. I think it felt like there was something at stake here. And I don't think I got that feeling for the first season. It was just so well written. And the episodes flew by. I didn't know they were over. It was so good. I really enjoyed Loki season 2.
Yeah, I agree. I started it late because I forgot it was starting. So I had to catch up on it.
I started it real late.
Yeah. And then I finally got through it, and because everyone was talking about it, I'm like, okay. And even people like who didn't like it the first, like you didn't like the first season, were talking about it, saying, wow, this one's so much better. So I watched it. I mean, the stuff with Majors is great. I really hope
I didn't even mention him.
Yeah, I really hope that whatever's going on in his legal life isn't bad. And it sounds bad, and it seems like Marvel might be having contingency plans we talked about this last time, to not include, that don't include him going forward.
I don't know why they just can't recast, honestly. Like, I'm good with what I got for Majors. He's already been in a movie and he's basically been the star of his TV show as well. So,
right.
I have no problem moving on.
Yeah, I have no problem moving on, but I just think he's such a talented guy and he's been so good in this role. I really want to see it continue, but he was fantastic in this. The whole cast who returned was great. You already mentioned Wilson. I forget the one who plays, Sylvie, I can't remember her name, but she was also fantastic, the actress who played her. It's just so well written, so well done, and it can, although it does feed into the larger narrative, you can watch this and enjoy it without knowing any of the other stuff. And I think
that's definitely the end of the season, definitely impacts the future of the MCU, right?
Oh, of course. I mean, obviously having Majors in it in the first season and then in this, obviously, that was his first, our first introduction to him was in season 1.
Yeah.
And we have the through line here now. So obviously, that's feeding the larger Kang narrative, if indeed they continue it, which we'll talk about soon. But yeah, I really enjoyed this season. Hiddleston said that he thinks he's done playing Loki. And if he is, then thank you for the performance, because he was one of my favorite. He's been one of my favorite parts of the MCU since the first time I saw him. And he killed this role. So,
They've killed him. They literally, you know, like, that was the most shocking thing. The most shocking thing I've ever seen the MCU do was kill Loki.
Yeah.
I could not believe it when I saw that happen on screen. I was absolutely shocked, because we all knew how big of a player he was within that group of characters, right? He might, outside of Iron Man, he might be the most beloved character in the MCU.
He was, specifically because for the longest time, and he still might be, as villains go, he was the best that they've produced.
I don't even think he's definitely more of a Catwoman now than he is a villain.
Now he is, yes. But
like, totally changed.
Yeah, well, now he's a good guy. He has friends, and he basically sacrificed his existence to
hold time together.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and that was such an awesome payoff for the character. It's the most, probably most satisfying arc we've gotten, I would say, in the MCU. I mean, obviously Tony's was great and so was Cap's, but I think Loki would be third or first, however you look at it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like I said, he's that popular. He was so well written. Like, everyone loves him. People name their cats after them. I know. I have a friend who named her cat Loki. He's huge. He really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you guys haven't seen it, definitely watch it. If you guys were skeptical because of season one, Pete is here to tell you that this is a better season. I agree. It was a better season.
Yeah.
I liked season one, but I like season two a lot more. So definitely check it out and let us know what you think. As always, we always want to know what you guys think. So let us know about Loki season two. All right. So we got a trailer this week for a movie that I think you and I have promoted more than anybody else.
The Chronicles.
No, not that one. We've talked more. I think we've talked more about Madam Web on this show, and it's been a while because we haven't had a lot of news.
Well, they stopped doing things for a long time.
But now we got a trailer, and what did you think?
This looks so 2000s to me.
Yeah.
Like this, well, and I said this on Twitter, it fits what Sony's been doing because they're doing the Spider-Man universe without Spider-Man, right? Except for that one cameo in the MCU that universe had as Venom. It just feels very like 2000s, 90s, like, hey, we know what we're doing. We got this. Mm-hmm. And they don't have no clue. But and that's what their track record shows, between two Venoms and a Morbius, right? Like, we kind of got that idea, and a third Venom on the way. I don't know how much money this movie is going to make. I don't know if people are going to care about this.
Yeah.
Because this is going to get this is obscure, you know? This is more obscure than Captain Marvel. And we all have seen how that sequel went down. I'm very interested to see how this reacts, because people are like, oh, Venom made money. I'm like, Venom is one of the most popular characters in comics since the 90s. He's taken over. He's uncontrollably popular.
Yes. You know?
Like, you can't compare the two at all, anywhere. Venom has a fan base. This version of Madam Web doesn't even have a fan base.
I know.
So, Julia Carpenter, I want to see what you got in store for me. I don't know, but I'll check it out. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. The first thing when I saw it, cause someone hinted to me that it was out, and I was like, oh wow. So I was like, let me go check it out. I watched it one time and I was like, okay, let me watch that again. I had to watch it
twice. People are saying it's bad. I don't think it's bad. I think the movie's bad. I don't think the trailer's bad. Right.
Well, I hope it's not bad, but you're right. It does kind of have this same feel that Venom had, that Morbius had, that the trailer for Kraven had.
Oh, yes, including Kraven. I did not include Kraven.
Right, like, it does have that, if this movie came out 23 years ago vibe to it, maybe it would be more, people would be more likely to see it. It's very, very much in that frame. And I'm glad they're staying in that world and they're not trying to be something different. But this movie is going to have to rely on the actresses that are in it to get people to see it. Sydney Sweeney's in it. Emma Roberts is in it. Dakota Johnson. Like, it's going to have to rely on people wanting to see
like,
them.
These are all girls you hear Nico talk about on a daily basis.
Yeah, like, these are those actresses in that age range. They're all in the same age range that are big names now that people are going to want to go see. Because, as you said, I don't think people are going to care about this movie.
And when Kristen Stewart's in the post-credit scene, the world's going to go wild.
That would be great. That would be crazy. But, yeah, I don't know. And I'm trying to think how this is going to fit into the larger Sony Spider-Man verse. That,
to be honest, Eric, when it comes to this universe, that's the only thing that I care about. How are you going to shove this round peg in the square hole that is the Spider-Man MCU? I just want to see the end result. I don't care how I get there, but I need to see how this all fits together. This is the only connected universe that matters because it is literally a bigger shit show than the other two right now. And they're both in the can.
It is pretty much. Something has to be fueling this because they keep making these movies.
I think they're still making money off Venom. So. Because Venom 2 didn't make that much money, right? Unless I'm wrong.
Morbius was a
total bomb.
Yeah.
Craven's been delayed after delay, so they've lost money on that probably, as well as this.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. With the state of comic book movies now and how everyone's down on Marvel and how normal people are stupid enough to think that this is a part of Marvel, like, I just feel like they're just not going to care. Really, people think like the old Fantastic Four movies are MCU movies because they have the Marvel banner in front. Like, that's it. They just see the banner and that it's connected to them. We'll see. I have no clue, man. It'll be interesting to see it unfold.
It really will be. This is something that it's going to be fun to follow. And I'm praying still. I'm going to keep putting it out there. I'm going to keep asking Sony that we get invited to the premiere. I want to be at the premiere for this movie. So I want to keep asking them.
You should be tweeting like Sony Japan just to be sure.
I should, right?
Those are all the big wigs are in Sony. They're all in Japan.
How awesome would that be?
We could go international.
I've never been
to Japan. I always wanted to go.
I haven't either. It'd be fun. It'd be a fun trip.
I don't want to go to China. I don't want to go to China.
No?
Communism. You know, we might not come back. We're Americans. You know, it could be bad for us. It's like going to Moscow.
That would be.
I'm good. I could go to Japan.
Oh, man.
And one of the Koreas. I would check out one of the
South. South.
Yeah, that's why I said one. I don't remember which one it is, but one of the Koreas.
Yes, South is the ally. North is the one with the crazy short dictator.
Like South Beach in Miami. That's how I'm going to remember this.
All right. Whatever you have to do to keep that in your mind, I'm glad I could help.
Yeah.
So there we go. All right. So we got some other trailers. One which I thought was adorable, and I actually want to see this, is the Merry Little Batman trailer.
Yes. Dude,
that looks so charming and cute and all those lovey adjectives you want to throw out for something. That's what that one looks like.
Very Holzman. It's very Holzman.
Well, whatever. Sometimes. Sometimes very
Holzman. Yeah, it's like cheery and joyful and childish and fun. Like, it's Holzman. It's very Holzman around the holidays.
I think it's more you.
Holzy for the holidays. That's right, kids. Eric Holzman's going to be dressing up as Santa Claus at the Mid-State Mall in Long Island for Holzy for the holidays.
Don't hold your breath.
That's it.
Don't hold your breath on that.
I'll be his little elf. Come on over here. Well, I'll get your mom to sit on old Santa's lap here, sweetheart.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway, can we? This just took a long time.
Merry Little Batman seems like it's a lot of fun. I can't wait to see it. What did you think of the animation style? Did that throw you off? Because people, like always, are complaining about that.
It's kind of that Cartoon Network old style.
Does it remind you of the Aquaman show?
A little bit, yeah, it does.
That's kind of what I'm getting, and I loved that. Like, that was like an hour and a half of just hilarious. Like,
it was.
So, like, I'm all for this. And I know that they're made by different people, but like, I'm getting those vibes from it. I'm really liking it.
I thought it was adorable. Really, like the whole thing, the concept of it. Even Batman, like, there's a softer side, and you see that in.
He's
Batman.
Got a beard.
He's got a beard, which is the way they decide to do Alfred, like ancient Alfred,
he looks like The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that was an interesting take. I wasn't expecting that, But yeah, man, this thing, I wasn't sure about it. And I mean, it's obviously not.
Something like this can go so far out there, like they did with this animation and basically story in general, where like, it's so lovable because you're like, this isn't trying to fit in here. It's not trying to fit forced over here. It's literally its own thing. It has its own vibe, its own tone, its own presence. You get that from that. You get it from the still images they've released, not only the trailer. So you can just go in there kind of carefree and enjoy it. As long as you're not one of these people, the animation looks so really, it's a god darn cartoon.
Yeah.
Get over it, please.
Yeah. And this, like, and
I just stopped that GD for Kowalski.
Behind all of that too, you can tell it's just a really cute holiday story, and that's what it's targeted. Obviously, this is targeted for kids, so the fact we're talking about it, we're only talking about it because it's Batman.
There's definitely going to be like SpongeBob elements of this, where they got the over the head jokes for the adults.
Oh, you know? I'm sure.
You know, I'm totally expecting that as well. But like, I think this is going to toe the line really well, and I think it's going to be nice. I'll have Black Christmas, Batman Returns, Shazam, and Merry Little Batman.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'll watch on Christmas morning.
I'll definitely check it out. I definitely want to check this out and see how
Eric's like, you know, I'll watch It's a Wonderful Life, you know, stuff like that.
No, I can't stand
actual
that movie.
Christmas movies.
I cannot. No, I've seen that movie so many times.
Really? You're not? Why? Is that when your parents would just pop on because it's theirs?
Every year when anyone in my family was wrapping presents or whatever, they would put that movie on.
Yes. I listen to music. I listen to Christmas music. I'll probably have a movie on the background, but I definitely focus more on the tunes.
Yeah. Now, I watch Die Hard. And
I think even Leonard Skinner has a Christmas album, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's
what they do. They do. So. Yes, they do have one. So, but guys, definitely watch that. Definitely watch Merry Little Batman. I'm sure a lot of you are because of the space we're in. And I want to hear everyone's thoughts on it when it's
done. And by the way, licensed Warner Brothers Discovery programming. You could thank Zaslav for that. You all freaked out about it about a year ago when they announced they were licensing out animation stuff. So there you go.
That's true.
Complain all you want. You got content.
That's true. That is a good point. This was one of those. So
for every Batgirl he's canceled, every Merry Little Batman you get.
A new little Merry Little Batman is born for every Batgirl that gets canceled.
There you go.
All right, the last trailer we're going to talk about is for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I didn't like this trailer.
You have no soul.
As much as I liked the first film when I did, I really liked Afterlife. This one, I don't know. It just didn't speak to me. It didn't pull me in. There was nothing about it that I saw that I thought was cool. I feel like the story that's been told a few times. It just didn't pull me in. Maybe I need to watch it again in a different mindset. I don't know. But it wasn't something that I'm not any more. I'll see it, but I'm not any more interested in seeing it because of this trailer. What about you?
Man, I cannot wait to get my ass in the theater to watch this movie. I am so pumped for this. I can't wait to see the journey continued. Are we going to have more Egon ghosts? Like, how involved are the original Ghostbusters? It seems like Ray's in it a lot. We know Winston wants to be in a lot based on the last movie. The firehouse is back. How are they getting to New York? All that jazz. I am so interested. I can't wait to see. And I want to see these kids and go into action. I'm happy we're back in New York finally. I'm really pumped, man. I am. Like, seeing that firehouse just got me all pumped up again. It really did. I think it's cool they're fighting, you know, Killer Frost or whatever the hell. Like, that's the thing about Ghostbusters. It's like, who cares about the villain? It's some evil ghost. Let's go get him. Let's kick ass, right? It's Miller time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. That movie has always been more about the interaction between the cast than what they're actually fighting. So if that's good, I'm sure it'll be good. This just didn't – there was nothing in this that I made me like, oh wow, I want to see this now. So we'll see how it plays out. But
I hope they don't spoil as much as they did with the last movie. Like, it was cool to get those clips of the mini Stay Puffs and everything, because we're coming off that horrible female Paul Feig Ghostbusters movie that I don't know how it failed, because it should have been gold. But like, you know, to kind of reassure the fans, I don't need any more of that. I understand what little Reitman's doing. Let him do his thing. And I want to be surprised in the movie theater.
Yeah. I mean, let's wait and see. That's all. I'm in a wait and see mode now with this. This trailer again didn't move the needle for me. So
I would get one of those red jackets if someone can find me where I can buy one.
I'm sure they'll be around soon.
Those red, they'd be perfect for the winter in this area. I would love to wear that, you know?
That's true. All right. So moving on, with since the strike is over now, there's a lot of things that were in flux or that were halted that are now have kind of been reshuffled. So we've talked about a couple of different release dates. So I'm just going to go through a little bit of them. Deadpool 3, uh-huh. One from May 3rd to July 26th of next year. So, which was the spot previously occupied by Captain America Brave New World, which now has been pushed to February 14th of 2025. Thunderbolts has been moved from December 20th, 2024 to July 25th, 2025. And the Blade reboot, if it ever happens, is shifted from February 15th, 2025.
I don't think that's ever happening, man. One's going to get off the ground.
Well, we're going to talk about that because it's something I definitely want to address. There's been other delays for other things. So the Disney prequel, Lion King prequel, Mufasa, has moved from July 5th, 2024 to December 20th, 2024. I think that's it. Yeah, I think I got through all of them. So those are all of the dates of Disney and I guess Marvel the productions that have shifted. So I hope you got all that. Mark it on your calendars. Change the dates if you were tracking this kind of thing. You did bring up Blade, and yeah, that's. I think it's going to happen still, and the only reason I think that is because I don't think they want to get rid of an actor of Ali's stature. Unless he says no.
Ali's the reason why it's not going to be made. I think he's going to quit.
Unless he steps, right. If he steps back, then I get it. But I think they're going to do whatever they can to make him to stay, to keep that title going. I know he's involved in the script now, involved in part of the script writing. We know how many times that's changed script writers and directors. It's been a mess. But I'm still hopeful that it happens. And again, if they allow him to, has very Flash vibes to me.
That's not good though.
It's I know it's not. You're right. It's not. But those are the vibes I get. Kang. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. But that's why you think it's because he's going to back away and then the project's going to fall apart.
I think he's going to get fed up with it. Like he's just like, Think about this guy, Ali. He's an A-lister.
Yeah, he is.
Imagine everything he's had to turn down because he's been waiting. Now he's fixing Blade. Right. Now he's like, now it's taking up more of his time. Like either he's going to get so invested in it, it's got to come out like The Rock and Black Adam, which wasn't a huge success either.
Right.
Or he's just going to wipe his hands and be like, I can't do this. Either you guys are stifling me or I just can't fit in with this atmosphere like I thought I did. It's taking too long. I don't like the way you do business. You know, there could be a million things. I have no idea. But it's been a really rocky road, man. And I just think of all the missed opportunities Ali has had. He could have been in tons of movies by now.
I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure he's, you know, we haven't seen him in anything in a while. So, yeah. It's very possible. What about this concept, though? I was thinking about this the other day, talking about Blade. What about a Blade Reborn movie with Wesley Snipes back as Blade?
If he could do it, yeah. Like, I'd be all for it. I love that, you know, third movie aside, I love that interpretation of Blade.
Right. So I was just thinking, like, if it does fall apart with Ali and they still want to do a Blade movie.
It's interesting to me they haven't actually even thought of that considering they're bringing all these old actors back from other companies, right?
Like, right.
It kind of fits in more with their mold than what they actually want to do.
Right. So I was just kicking that around in my head. I was talking to somebody else about it the other day, and it just came into my mind. I was like, I wonder if they would consider that. Just consider bringing him back. If Mahershala Ali is like, yeah, this is a mess. I don't want to handle it anymore. I hope that doesn't happen. He's such a talented guy, and he is perfect to play Blade, a new Blade. So I hope it doesn't happen. But it kind of seeps into the larger narrative that people are having now about the MCU as a whole. And there is an article in Variety by Adam Vary, who he spoke about, do they need to destroy it to rebuild it, basically. Kind of, and he references what happens in Loki, and there's a lot of parallels there to what's going on in the larger MCU. Some people believe that he believes that they should completely reboot it, starting with X-Men and Fantastic Four, which we know there's a ton of support.
Dude, I'm worried about the Fantastic Four. Like, I don't think people are actually ready for that right now.
Well, I mean, we got casting news on that. I was going to hold that to the end. I guess Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards is kind of the...
It's the hot rumor.
Yeah, that's the hot rumor right now. So, which would be... He's fantastic, so yes, I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it. I don't know why people are complaining, Kowalski. It doesn't make sense to me.
It's an aesthetic
thing. He's a fantastic actor.
Yes.
I hate that word. Justin has made me hate the word aesthetic. He really has.
I think people think of Reed as a different type of body.
You put some gray spray paint on that guy's temples, so he'll look like Reed Richards.
So...
yeah. It's funny, like, I was reading Fantastic Four last night at work, and it's all about, one universe is merging with a dinosaur universe that has the Fantastic Four and all the Marvel heroes, like, everyone's, it's basically, like, the dinosaur version, and I'm sitting there and I'm reading this, like, if they made this a movie, people would hate it in this current state.
Probably.
And that's what the MCU is. The MCU is essentially a sitcom of science fiction that does really weird shit. No one's ready for that right now.
It's true.
No one's ready for that.
That's fair. I never thought of it that way, but you're right. It's very much a...
I've been saying it should be a TV show for years.
I don't know if people... I don't even know if people are ready for... I think people are ready for an X-Men movie again, but I don't know if they're ready for one that the MCU might produce, I guess.
I think they are, and I think the MCU is putting all their cards on the X-Men. And I don't know what Feige's doing, because he's holding onto it real tight for his emergency action plan.
Right.
And this is why I've kind of been going off on Feige for the past couple of days. Like, what are you doing? Get the X-Men here, get it going. Are you just stalling until Deadpool 3 finally comes out?
Like, right.
What's going on? Because that's not the way you guys do things. You guys plan things 17 years ahead. So if you tell me that you're casting a new X-Men movie, no one's going to care because you've just delayed the next 4 years of movies anyway. So it's like, that's your business model that you've presented to me. You don't care about time. So just let's get the ball rolling here because you need to be saved. Because the first time, I think Kevin Feige's job is at stake here.
I don't think it's at stake, but I think it's
I do. He hasn't done anything great in how long?
Well, I guess
I know he's had a hot streak, but yeah, how much money have they lost?
Right. Oh yeah, that's I kind of tweeted that yesterday.
They canned his Star Wars movie, dude. They're starting to have doubts.
Yeah. No, you're right. I do think there's definitely the bloom is off the rose, definitely, with him. You know, he's not as Teflon as he once was.
Basically Cashman.
Interesting. That's an interesting analogy, but you're not terribly wrong. I think he's got a little bit more of a leash because of how successful they were and how that model is technically the most successful of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it changed Hollywood.
Right. So I think he's got a longer leash, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely when these things aren't doing as well. You haven't seen the Marvels yet. I did. We're going to talk about it after you see it. We'll talk about it more in depth, but it's not as bad as people are saying.
I'm sure.
I feel like I've been saying that about a lot of MCU titles lately.
Well, that's usually what we say about DC.
Right. Right. So this model that was so successful and the reasons why it was successful, everything was kind of baked into these character stories that we got early on and we bought into the characters. And that's what made us care about the overall Infinity Saga. They stumbled out of the gate at post and they didn't have a plan. And I think that turned people away. I think that's part of it. And that's now they're trying to recover from that.
I thought we all knew what the Marvel plan was. What's the plan? I thought we knew this. Look, I think the biggest problem with the multiverse saga is their choice of characters. I don't think outside of Spider-Man, I don't think any of these characters are huge, big names. I think you need the Spider-Mans. I think you need, unfortunately, you need a real Black Panther. I think you need Blade. I think you need the X-Men. I think you need the Marvels and Doctor Strange, not caught in it. Neither's Ant-Man. These guys aren't big enough. These guys aren't the heroes that people want. They want the A-listers. And I know you kind of built the MCU on C-list characters, but you turned them into A-listers.
Yeah.
Look what they did to Loki.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And there's tons of reasons why we've talked about it in the past about, is there too much, probably too much content. People have to worry about watching everything in order to understand what's coming. And then when you threw in the Disney, that was fine with the movies, but then you threw in the Disney Plus stuff and that became,
another thing. Cause I think She-Hulk in tone, it would match the Fantastic Four. Like, I feel like those two should be similar in ridiculousness. And if people can't respond well to She-Hulk, I don't think they could respond well to the Fantastic Four.
Right.
That's me though.
So they are trying to address it with that new Spotlight thing. And those are the titles that don't intertwine with the MCU continuity.
Yeah. Okay. You know what that is? That's called Netflix Marvel. That's what that exactly is.
You're right. You're right. And the problem with it doing it now is people are going to think it anyway. They're going to think it connects anyway. So
it's going to connect. It's Echo. We know she's already connected with everyone.
Yes, that you're right. She was in Hawkeye.
In Hawkeye with the Kingpin, with Daredevil. Like,
right. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to do that. Like, how do you remove that from people's minds? I don't know how they're planning that. But yeah, there's a lot of things, I don't want to say wrong, but just confusing. And I think that's probably the best term I can give it with the MCU. It's just very confusing right now. And like you said, the characters that they're putting out there, people just don't care about. So
that's it. I'm sorry. Doctor Strange, the Marvels, Ant-Man, they're not cutting it. That's it. You picked the wrong group of heroes. You just did. Because no one's gone to see these movies.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I liked Shang-Chi, and which I thought was a really, really good movie.
So did I. I thought it was great.
Yeah, there are certain these. I don't think they're just pulling in enough people to care.
They got so cocky they thought they could do this, right, and it blew up in their face.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Yeah, I think they just figured they would keep churning these movies out, and people would see them because, oh, they're Marvel films. And now I feel like people aren't seeing them because they're Marvel films. So it's very, very strange. One of the titles that we could throw in there was Thor: Love and Thunder. And that was a surprising because he is one of the characters from the original, the Infinity Saga, played by the same actor.
Yeah,
you would think this.
That movie.
I didn't care for it that much. I thought Bale was great. I didn't love that movie as a whole, but if you didn't love it like I didn't, Taika Waititi won't be back for the next one if they make one. So, if Thor 5, there's been rumors that Thor 5 is in development, but he says he's not involved. So, there you go. If you guys
I mean, his movies were 50, his Thor movie was 50-50, because I hated Ragnarok.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I didn't care for it. Myself, I thought it had some good things about it. I love Jeff Goldblum as what is his name? Sitar, right? I loved him. But that's the only, there are only a few things about that movie that I really liked. I did think Kate Blanchett was good as Hela.
Yeah, she's great.
But yeah, but other than that, the movie just didn't land well for me. And that one's kind of polarizing because I have a lot of people who love it. And then a lot of people who hate, like you and I, who don't like it. So
yeah.
So that's a polarizing one. But if you don't like his style, you don't have to see it anymore. I don't think he'll be back.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Taika's Waititi style.
So there you go, guys. If you want a new Thor. I do like the more traditional Thor that we got in the first film. That's my...
The first film's still the best one, if you ask me.
I agree. So... But I mentioned before that the strike is over, and that means that everything's going back to production. So apparently, right after Thanksgiving, or right before, so this coming up, all these movies are back in production. Deadpool 3, Gladiator 2, Clint Eastwood's The Joker number 2. All these things are getting thrown back into production, people. So
that's good, because it was like, what, 100 some days?
Yeah. So Hollywood is back on the stationary bike. And
good. I want to be entertained. Entertain me.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was some, there was another bit of news that kind of came out, or something you posted, and I don't think you put in this rundown, but it's fresh news and it's on my mind and talk about it. So they're starting to promote Aquaman. We're getting promotion. We're getting people on doing the late night circuit. Jason Momoa
was just on Fallon. Yeah.
Yeah. He was on the Tonight Show, and he said kind of
that you're the true Aquaman.
I wish, but no, he said that this is probably it for him. And we all kind of assume that, but he left the door open that he may be back in the DC universe. And we know the Lobo rumor's been out there.
Oh, Kowalski.
So if this is the last time we see him as Aquaman, I want to just say this quickly. He changed the perception of the character because for the longest
time. And you know who you have to give credit to?
Him.
Zack Snyder.
That's true. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
He cast Thank you, Zach. Yeah. So he changed the perception of Aquaman from being a joke to now being extremely cool.
I mean, he mentioned that when he was talking to Fallon, you know, the character's big joke, riding seahorses, robot chicken, right? Blah, blah, blah. You know, Momoa changed the perception. Now every woman in America wants to see Jason Momoa without his shirt on. And what better place to see than him underwater? So Aquaman 2, go check it out. No, yeah. It's great. Like, I love Aquaman, and, you know, mostly because he gets made fun of so much. But then when Momoa got cast, I remember I asked people at work, like, what's going on? This guy, like, you guys will watch Game of Thrones, and they're like, oh, yeah, he'd be perfect. He's just a big old tough guy. Like, okay, like, whatever. And, you know, just booyah. You know, I kind of like the swashbuckling, beer-chugging version of Aquaman. Like, it's different, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's he's a character I've liked for a long time, and when I tell people that, they would be like, really? Like, he's so weird. Like, he's so not.
People have associated you with Aquaman for years.
Well, I don't know with
you Aquaman. Told us that's what they called you in high school when you were in swim team.
Yes, because I just like to swim all the time. And I still do. I like the water. So that was a nickname that they gave me, and it stuck for a little while. So, but yeah, it's kind of cool now that he's evolved into this cooler character, and we definitely have, like you said, Zack Snyder for casting Momoa and for putting that vision out there and for him carrying it. James Wan for crafting it. I mean, it's been a fun ride. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to this movie.
Let's be honest, it's probably you could argue it's the most successful DCEU film.
It is.
Out of all of them?
Financially, it is.
Right. Financially, yes. I mean, one would say probably Wonder Woman or the Suicide Squad are probably the better made movies, I guess.
Yeah.
You could have that argument. Like, you know, you can go different ways, but like, it made $1 billion.
Especially
in 2018, when we were nervous as hell. We were coming off of BVS and Justice League drama, and the only good movie was Wonder Woman, and there was Aquaman.
Yeah.
Our $1 billion hit. Yeah, our first one.
It's so crazy to think that, but yeah. It is. It's
he was.
Yeah.
BVS only BVS made a ton of money the first 2 weeks and bottomed out, but still made like $800 million. Wonder Woman made $700 million because of the effects of BVS. Justice League was shit.
Yeah.
And Aquaman was he kind of restored our faith.
Yeah. I mean, he did. He definitely made it. He made it. He made you feel better. If you're a fan of DC, he made you feel good. Like, oh, we finally have, you know, we have a hit movie here.
It made you believe in the brand. It made, you know, kind of it restored your faith.
Yeah,
in a very dark time, like Aquaman, kind of he almost like saved us as a fandom from ourselves.
Yeah, and it's weird though because a lot of people don't like that movie. But I don't know.
Really, I think a lot of people. I thought most people enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think in our group most people did, but I mean critically it was. Not great. Like it was like
it did not do well critically. No.
Yeah. Like so. That's what I'm saying. It's a polarizing film in a lot of ways, but yes, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom comes out December 23rd, I think.
22nd.
There we go, guys. So
Aquaman. Oh yeah.
It's coming. Something else that's coming is the new Daredevil, and we told you on the last show that. They scrapped the old model and they were starting from scratch, and they literally are starting from scratch, people. So Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead, who are the new show writers, spoke to the Wrap, and they asked them, like, where are they at with Daredevil? And they said, we have the best answer for you. See this space we're in right now? This is our office, and we just found out we have an office 45 minutes ago. And that's where we're at with Daredevil. It's day zero. We're just making our stew of information nice and thick. So
makes me wonder if they're going to still use the action scenes.
I know. They made it sound like they were going to keep some stuff, but who knows?
That yeah, might change. I mean, whatever. I mean, if it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. They have to reshoot or whatever. I mean, they're reshooting the whole show, so might as well. I don't know. But that was interesting. It makes it seem like they're starting from square one.
It does. And that might not be a bad thing.
No. I mean,
you know?
I will say, when it comes to Daredevil, at least it seems like the problems didn't linger. Like, they were pretty fast to act. Where, like, with Blade, you know, it's taken a long time, and, like, things just kind of slowly leak out. Like, you know, like, I know they both have, like, essentially started from square one, mm-hmm. but I think it's been a little bit of an easier transition for Daredevil than it has been for Blade.
Yeah, I mean, for Blade, we only got, the only thing we've heard of him so far was that end credit scene at the end of the Eternals. We've seen this Daredevil before.
Dude, I forget about that too, man.
Yeah.
Because you don't see him.
No, you don't. You just hear him. You just hear his voice.
So it's like, what is he even doing at the end of the Eternals?
That's the thing. Nobody knows. It was like, oh, cool. Here he is. We hear his voice. Yay. That's it. Like,
there's
there's
just been one vampire in this movie.
I know. I have no reason. Yeah. And who knows what they're going to do with that? Are they going to connect that? I have no idea.
Dude, so, I forgot all about the Eternals.
Yeah. Well, I liked it, so I didn't forget about it.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a good movie, but it's very forgettable.
It is. And that's another problem with some of these titles. They're just not memorable anymore. So, I don't know. All right. So, Pete, you seemed a little perturbed about this next story, so I'm going to let you run with it. DC's Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, finds its new writer in Anna Noguera.
No, it's fine and everything. I'm just like, everyone, first of all, none of you read this book when it came out. Then they announced it, and then you all went to Amazon like you bought it 7 months ago.
Right.
It's a mess story. It starts out hot. It fades at the end. I don't really like it. I was excited when Tom King wrote it. But, again, like, the first two issues were good, and then it kind of faded out. And I don't get the hype. I would really much rather have a traditional Supergirl movie. I'd much rather have a traditional Superman film. I'm not even getting that. So it's like, whatever. James Gunn is he's building a universe that's just, in honesty, this thing's already built to fail, in my opinion, because what they're modeling it after is failing in itself. And I just, to be honest, Superman Legacy should start from square one, and it should probably just be a Superman film instead of whatever Justice League unlimited episode James Gunn's recreating.
Well, maybe we should wait and see what it is first before we get more details. I wouldn't freak out just yet. I know there's a lot of people that have been cast in Superman Legacy, and they added another one. Maria Gabriella DeFeria.
Yeah, she's playing not even a Superman villain. She's playing some engineer. Like, I don't know what Jim Lee has on James Gunn, but, like, Jim Lee's getting a fortune from all these Wildstorm characters getting put in a movie.
Well, yeah, she's part of the Authority, right? So
yeah.
Yeah, so...
So again, we're going to build up the Authority because no one knows who they are with Superman, who no one's cared about since 1978.
But I don't know how they all fit into the narrative. So that's what I'm waiting to see.
But
I mean, I agree with you. It does kind of raise your eyebrow. Like, what are they doing here? What's he doing here? But I don't know. And I'm waiting to see. I trust his care of the characters because he does love them so much. And that's what I keep going back to. Like, he cares about this, and he cares about these characters a lot.
I think he cares, but I also kind of think he's kind of reached, like, he's been on, he's another one who's been on a real good hot streak. And I might think he got a little cocky on this one. Well, yeah, he's like, but I could turn a raccoon and a tree into stars. Then I could turn this machine. He doesn't have that accent, but you know what I'm saying? He's like, I can do this. Now I'm going, yo. I don't know why. I made him sound like a bumpkin.
I don't know, but I'm being patient. I just want to kind of see what we get from this. I'm starting to think it might be overstuffed, but again, I have no idea what the story is about. I have no idea how it works in. He keeps saying that it's a Superman and Lois story first and foremost, so I'm going to hold him to his word right now. If that's what you're telling me, then that's what I'm expecting to get. How these other characters fit in, I have no idea.
All but, I can say is thank God for Matt Reeves and the Batman.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
that I actually enjoy.
And but it's the one stable thing that we have. So, yes, I agree with you. With all this unknown, we know that movie. Yeah. Yes, we know that movie. We know the characters in it. We know what's coming in some respects.
There's no corporate agenda. There's no forcing this.
I agree.
It's one man's vision. Like, that's,
I agree with
thank
you.
God for Matt Reeves and the Batman.
I agree with you.
Epic crime saga.
Until they create another Max show from it. And
like, I hope Matt Reeves directs his solo Superman in his own world. This way it pisses off Kowalski even more. Like, I don't care.
It's weird.
Bridge. I don't care.
It's weird to bring that up because the style that he did the Batman in could also work for a Superman movie.
I don't know if it could work for a Superman
movie. No, I think it could.
You think so?
I think it could. I do. If you think of traditional Superman, when he was created, the story they used to tell, how it used to have that old, you know, he's a reporter. They could focus on him, Clark Kent, the reporter, doing stories like that. I definitely could see it in the similar mold that he did the Batman.
I would be there to see it because I'm dying to see what a good director can do. You know, like Matt Reeves is a great director. I would love to see what he could do with Superman.
I agree.
It'll be different. There'll be a lot, you know, but like I would be interested in that.
Maybe we'll get an Elseworlds Superman. Who knows?
Maybe. I don't know. I just, oh man.
So we didn't talk about this trailer, but I want to bring it up anyway because you mentioned Matt Reeves. The new Planet of the Apes trailer. Did you see it? It
has nothing to do with Matt Reeves, though.
No, I know, but he did the last Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was great. I can't wait to see what goes on. I want to see where humanity's at. I'm very interested to see where these apes are at. Like, this new Planet of the Apes franchise has been remarkable since the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate their – now, I'm not sure where – you know, like, I'm not sure how they're all going to tie it together, but I'm dying to find out. Like, it's just – it's written so well. They've gone through three now it's going to be the third director in the fourth movie. So – you know, they've been pretty consistent for the most part, and I'm just excited to see it, man. Like, I know Caesar's not there, and I know Andy Serkis has no part in it, but, you know, it looks so good. It looks so grand in scale. I love Planet of the Apes, even the weird ones.
Yeah. I it's weird. The first one with James Franco, I forget who directed that one, I was kind of eh on, but then the two Reeves ones I really liked.
I really like the James Franco one.
So, but this does pick up from his story. It does pick up from Reeves' story. So
it continues. It's just in the future.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. I saw I went to see Thanksgiving last night, which I didn't talk about, but I will in a little bit. We talked about before we started the show, but I saw the trailer again. So it was fresh in my mind. And then when you brought him up, I just wanted to know what you thought about
it
that.
It was Rupert Wyatt who directed the first one.
Well, since I just brought up Eli Roth's Thanksgiving, I'll just give I did a quick review last night, a quick car review on Facebook. So if you guys are in the Facebook group, you got the chance to see it. And if you haven't, you can go back and watch. But this movie is so over the top. And I hate saying fun when it comes to horror movies, but it really is a fun movie. So I suggest you all go see it.
I'm planning on it this weekend. I might go see it tonight or tomorrow night, but yeah.
It's...
Well, here's the thing, though. Now that you're bringing up Thanksgiving, I may not see the Marvels this weekend because of Thanksgiving. To be brutally honest, like, that's where I'm at. Like, do I want to see the Marvels, which I plan on seeing? It's just, time's been of the essence. But then Thanksgiving comes out, and it's like, well, I could probably see one movie this weekend.
Right.
Chances are, 90%, it's going to be Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
that's where we are. Something fresh, something new, different genre. Something that, like, when was the last really, really good slasher? Like, Malignant, I don't really count. That's kind of like, it's a different. That was on HBO Max too. Like,
right.
I'm thinking about it. Scream, okay, that's a slasher film. But this is a brand new thing.
Right.
Right. Right. That's it. It's fresh.
Yes.
Whereas the Marvels, I've seen Brie Larson in seven different haircuts look really stoic in six different movies. Right? Like, I've seen Captain Marvel before. I've seen Ms. Marvel on TV.
Right.
I've seen Monica Rambeau on TV. I've never seen, last time I saw Thanksgiving was in a fake trailer for Grindhouse. It was like 2007.
I know.
So it's, yeah, Thanksgiving is going to get my money this weekend. Sorry, Kevin.
It is. It's completely over the top. It's everything you love about Eli Roth's movies. Has twists, obviously, like all horror films do, especially when they're slashers. Who is it? You know, it's always the who is it. Well acted. Some of the scenes are a little ridiculous, but they're supposed to be. So, but definitely go see, if you guys like the genre and specifically the slasher subgenre, go see this because you're going to enjoy it. I'm telling you, Pete, I know you're going to like it before you even go see it. I can tell you.
I'm sure I will because, God, I've been waiting for it ever since I saw that fake trailer.
Right. So.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And the fact that it's coming out literally a week before was perfect. I said they should have done
it. Yeah. That's what I think they should do with Christmas movies. I don't want to see it in July.
Right. I thought they missed an opportunity not releasing for Halloween because everyone's going to wear that next year. Everyone's going to be wearing the John Carver mask. Everyone's going to be wearing it. Good. 100%. So definitely go check that out, guys. And let us know what you think. All right. We've come to the end of this fine episode.
The end of the Eric Holzman experience.
And the Peter Vera experience.
No.
Yes.
This is when she looks to her left and she sees the champion of Long Island, she knows she was in for a good night.
When she looks to the right and she sees you and she
runs in fright. The Eric Holzman experience.
All right, Pete, tell where they can find you.
You can follow me on social media, Twitter, X, Instagram. I think, I'll update Vero at some point, at Pete Illustrated. Follow this show, the show you're listening to right now, Straight Out of Gotham, on Twitter and Instagram, at @straight_O_G. We have a Facebook group and a Facebook fan page. Continue joining both. Our Twitter has blown up with a few followers, so it's very pleasant to see people finding us.
Good job.
It's enjoyable. It's been an enjoyable experience the past 48 hours. BatmanOnFilm.com, Batman on Film, YouTube, I'm all over there. Once a month, I appear on Ryan Lauer's The Batman Book Club. And, that's about it. I'm going to give it over to Holzman because there's only one and I caught them all.
You guys know where to catch me on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Finally 33, spell finale 33. Check me out over there. If you're a fan of the New York Knicks, I do a weekly New York Knicks live stream every Wednesday night called All Nicked Up. Twitter handle is @all_nick_up. The Knicks have been pretty good this year so far, so it's been a lot of good conversation, a lot of happy conversation.
How do you feel about the in-season tournament?
I hate it.
I'm with you. I think it's so dumb. I think it's so stupid. I can't stand the court.
The jerseys, the court.
It's too much.
Yeah.
I'm a proud American. I don't want to be European.
That's fair. That's a fair point. I think it's stupid because to me, I don't know what it means. Like, what does it mean? You get that trophy, so who cares? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. You basically replace the All-Star game with a fake tournament? Like,
right. I have no idea what any of it means. What's the purpose? Except to sell more stuff.
I still think it's load management. I think they want LeBron to play games in October and November instead of taking off for the playoff run. I think that's what it is.
Right. And I don't know one person who has been like watching the NBA now because they have this in-season tournament. Like,
no, I'm just confused.
Right. I don't understand what the point of it was, but it's there.
Because I think I saw a tweet, the Knicks are now like above 500 in tournament play. I'm like, what's their record?
I think they're 2-1.
What's the overall record?
I think they're 2-1. I think they played 3 games and they're 2-1. I think that's exactly where we're at with this. So yeah, it's nuts. Baseball winter meetings are starting. Pete, you've been active with the Yankee talk. I've seen some Yankee talk from you.
Yeah. I think Bellinger's coming here. I think Bellinger's a guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is nice because they need left-handers in that lineup.
What about the Japanese guy? You think
Yamamoto?
You think Yankees got a shot?
Cashman's actually been there to scout him personally, so that's very positive. I know between the posting fee and his actual contract, it's going to cost him a lot of money.
I know, but Cashman's freaky take on Stanton—they have the same agent.
Yeah, so. But then he kissed his ass last night as he was sleeping out in the streets for his sleeping bag of rents.
right.
As he usually does. So yeah. Cashman, he's just I don't know what he's doing. He's fighting dirty. Maybe this is a good thing. Maybe Stanton goes to spring training all pissed off and ends up hitting 70 home runs. I have no idea what he's doing, but I would not want to have I would love to have a season of pissed off Giancarlo Stanton in the batter's box.
I think the key word there is a season because we need him to play.
I think Cashman tried to motivate him like an idiot. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. But again, guys,
at least I'm not a Giants fan.
Yeah. There's talk about Soto too, but we can talk about that some other time. But there's talk about the Yankees getting Soto as well.
That's a pipe dream in my eyes.
But yeah. See you guys, Pete, the GM right here. We have our own GM, our own Yankees GM right here.
Oh, God.
Listen to us for all that fun conversation. Although it's not the theme of our show, we dip into it anyway because we're full service here. We give you a little
why?
Bit of everything.
Why? Because Burger King sells a chicken sandwich.
Exactly. That's exactly why.
Yes, that's why.
So, all right, everybody. We're going to shut this one down. So for Peter Vera, I'm Eric Holzman. You're listening Straight Outta Gotham, and we'll see you next time.
Booyah!